Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. Let's start with a part of an article from AARP, the magazine, a bunch of little items on Saturday Night Live. Catchphrases that caught on. Writers' dreams came true when these sayings went viral. It's always something. Gilda Radner as Rosanna Dana. Yeah, that's the ticket. John Lovitz as the pathological liar. We are two wild and crazy guys. Steve Martin and Dan Aykroyd as the Festruck brothers. We just want to pump you up. Dana Carvey and Kevin Nealon as Hands and Friends. Making copies. Rob Schreiner as Richmeister. More cowbell. Christopher Walken as Bruce Dickinson. You look marvelous. Billy Crystal as Fernando Lamas. Cheeseburger, cheeseburger, Pepsi, Pepsi. John Belushi as Steve Dionysopoulos. An honorable mention in this category, Isn't That Special? Dana Carvey as Church Lady, and We Are Not Worthy, Mike Myers and Carvey as Wayne and Garth. Then we have weekend updates that killed, interrupting the news with well-considered opinions. Father Guido Sarducci, 1978 to 1995, Saturday Night Live writer, Don Novello's gossip columnist for the Vatican newspaper, had already appeared on Laugh-In. Hollywood Minute, 1992 to 98. David Spade showed up during Weekend Update to roast celebrities in a way that he's still apologizing to people about. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, 2015 to 2020. The Supreme was 81 when Kate McKinnon first presented her as a hip-hopping, horny, insult-tossing badass. Stefan, 2008-18, Bill Hader played a New York City nightlife correspondent who describes the weirdest clubs to Weekend Update. Opera Man, 1992-2019, dressed more like Dracula than Pavarotti, Adam Sandler would sing about the news in fake Italian, mostly by adding O to the end of words. Honorable mention, Point Counterpoint, Dan Aykroyd, Jane Curtin, Garth and Kat, Fred Armisen, Kate Wilg, Jacob, the Bar Mitzvah Boy, Vanessa Bayer. Now moving on to an article that we started last week from Prevention Magazine, Secrets of Aging Well, How to Live a Healthier Long Life. And we started with the introduction, and now we're going to keep going. It is an ongoing article for us. So this week we're going to address your stress. We all worry, but feeling chronically stressed speeds up aging, says Alyssa Epple, Ph.D., a psychiatry professor at the University of California, San Francisco. Stress fuels the low-grade inflammation that damages cells, affects the length of telomeres, and more. Take breaks in nature. Urban forest therapy means connecting to nature, even a single tree where you live. A recent review confirmed that even short nature breaks were great for reducing angst, with one study clocking benefits after 20 to 30 minutes a few times each week. Mentally time travel. One quick way to reduce stress is a type of perspective taking called time distancing, which Epple uses and recommends. Think about your biggest worries and ask yourself how much they will matter a week, a month, a year, or decades from now. What we're sweating over today will often seem meaningless later. You can feel relief each time you remind yourself of this. Schedule inner me time. Meditate, journal, or go for a run to get into a zen-like space, says Anaranda Lala Trinidad, MD, a cardiologist at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York. Spending time going within will also inspire you to stay on track with other routines that help reduce stress. The days I take the time to meditate are the days I do the most healthy eating and exercise, she said. Designate a phone-free zone. We're all conditioned to check our smartphones dozens of times a day. But researchers are linking too much screen time to stress, anxiety, and poor sleep. Cutting back by, say, making Saturday morning a phone-free period in your home lowers stress levels, especially when you use that time to move your body, German researchers have found. Be aware of blood sugar. Consistently high levels of glucose in your blood, or levels that frequently swing from high to low and back again, damage many cells in the body. This sets the stage for diseases like diabetes and heart disease. Over time, having these conditions further decreases health span. Think Greek. A Mediterranean-style diet full of vegetables, fruits, and high-quality fats, olive oil, nuts, and proteins, lots of fish, is ideal for overall health and also the best way to keep blood sugar in check, Dr. Kopecky says. If you don't eat this way, start by having a salad before dinner. A single daily serving of leafy greens may help protect the brains of older adults, Rush University researchers discovered. Get pricked. If you already have diabetes, consider adding acupuncture to your regular drug treatment. It stabilizes blood sugar more than conventional therapy alone, Chinese researchers say. Track your sugar. Individuals at high risk for heart disease and pre-diabetes, high levels that don't cross the diabetes threshold, may benefit from seeing how their blood sugar reacts to individual food choices, which can be done by using a continuous glucose monitor. If your A1C is above the safe limit of 5.7, despite appropriate diet and exercise optimizations, Dr. Lala Trinidad suggests asking your doctor if temporarily wearing such an under-the-skin monitor could help you make better food choices. Next we have Move That Body. Regular exercise keeps muscles strong to help us stay active in old age, but it does much more for our health spans, including stimulating anti-inflammatory activity throughout the body and keeping cell-damaging insulin levels in check. Do that extra bit. Whether it's walking, running, swimming, or pickleball, try to do at least 150 minutes of each week. But it's also wise to move all day, Dr. Kopecky says. Walk around your office every half hour, sweep your kitchen, or take the stairs if possible. And join the resistance. Some form of resistance training, lifting weights, using resistance bands, doing body weight exercises that challenge muscles, is crucial. The loss of lean muscle mass is one of the biggest predictors of frailty in the elderly. Increase your protein intake. Muscles grow when you feed them protein, but research shows the daily recommendations may not be enough for optimal strength as we age. I aim to double the current target to 1.5 grams per kilogram of body weight, Kimberlain says. This means if you're a 150-pound woman, you would want to take in 102 grams of protein daily. Reach this level by including some protein from foods like nuts, eggs, soy protein, lentils, fish, meat, and even rye bread in every meal. A study of people ages 55 to 70 who were strength training and cutting calories to try to lose weight found that eating sufficient protein was best for maintaining a healthy muscle-to-fat ratio. Restricting calories alone, it showed, caused loss of muscle strength and function. And say om. Yoga improves muscle tone and balance, Dr. Lala Trinidadi says, that in turn will help prevent falls and let you do daily activities with ease. An added benefit, yoga's breathing exercises reduce stress. And for the final section of this introduction, stay heart smart. Heart disease kills nearly 700,000 people a year, and it leaves many more unable to lead active lives. Prevention strategies are beneficial at every stage, whether your heart is completely healthy or you have cardiovascular warning signs like high blood pressure or high cholesterol. And even, Dr. Lala Trinidadi says, they even help if you've already had a heart attack. Rediscover your kitchen. It might seem easier to grab takeout on your way home, but when you cook, you get to control portion sizes, use healthful ingredients, and limit hidden sugars and trans fats. Make cooking fun by discovering new recipes, including those on the National Institutes of Health's website, healthyeating.nhlbi.nih.gov. Explore fermented foods. Miso, natto, tofu, and kefir are not common in American kitchens, but they should be in yours. Japanese researchers found that the risk of developing high blood pressure dropped by up to 28% in those who regularly ate fermented soy products, so miso and natto. In another study, 3 months of daily drinking of the fermented dairy product kefir, great for breakfast, boosted heart blood markers and lowered heart disease risk. Call your friends. People who feel lonely have a higher risk of heart disease and stroke, not to mention depression. Sign up for that group belly dance class or lecture series, or start a book club with friends. Just picking up the phone and chatting with someone for 10 minutes a few times a week significantly reduces loneliness, researchers discovered during the height of the pandemic. Guard your nights. Sleep is one of the most important things you can do to improve your health span, Dr. Kopecky says, since this is when crucial tissue is repaired, including in your heart. Yet a third of American adults don't get enough Z's. Improve your sleep hygiene by keeping to the same sleep schedule every day, including weekends, and creating a bedtime routine similar to the kind you had for your kids, perhaps involving a soothing bath, reading, meditating, and writing down things that you're grateful for. And we'll continue with that article next time. Now let's move back to one that we started last week from AARP, the Bulletin, and this is about the status of COVID. Is long COVID boosting our death rate? In July, COVID accounted for less than 1% of all deaths in the U.S. Life expectancy in the U.S. is 77.5 years, reflecting an uptick over the past 2 years, but still lower than pre-pandemic levels. Many factors contribute to that statistic, but it's clear that the long-term effects of COVID have played a role. For example, a study in the journal Nature Medicine found that those hospitalized with COVID had a 29% greater risk of death in the 3 years after their infection. But what was also alarming is that in people who weren't hospitalized, there was also an increased risk of a variety of medical issues, says John Barretta, founder and co-director of the COVID Recovery Clinic at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Even patients who had had mild bouts of COVID-19 had an increased risk of respiratory, cardiovascular, metabolic, and neurological issues, lingering for 3 years after the initial infection. Long COVID patients had a significantly increased risk of severe health issues affecting the brain, lungs, and heart. We have long known that an acute case of COVID can compromise heart health. Compared with those who didn't contract COVID, people who caught the virus were 81% more likely to die of cardiovascular complications in the ensuing 3 weeks according to a study of 160,000 patients published by the European Society of Cardiology. But the risk lingers long after symptoms abate. Those who caught the virus were 5 times more likely to die from cardiovascular disease as long as 18 months after infection, the same study found. Heart disease deaths, which had been on a downward trend for decades, began to spike in 2020 and remained high through 2022, the last year for which data is available. Stroke, blood clots in the legs leading to clots in the lungs, abnormal heart rhythm, arrhythmia, and inflammation of the heart are among the challenges COVID poses, says Sathru Muyorenty, MD, professor and chair of internal medicine at the Burnett School of Medicine in Fort Worth, Texas. In long COVID, this collection of cardiovascular disruptions can present as postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, or POTS, P-O-T-S, in which patients' heart rates increase abnormally when they go from sitting or lying down to standing up. One theory to explain COVID's long-term effects on the heart and the body in general centers on inflammation. Every time you get infected with COVID, there is a possible increased risk of long COVID, and some cardiac disorders can occur, especially if you have a history of heart disease, including stroke, heart disease, and heart attacks, says Pragna Patel, MD, senior advisor for long COVID at the CDC. All of these problems can be exacerbated by the virus entering coronary tissue and triggering inflammatory responses that can damage the heart. Researchers say COVID may also offer the gut microbiome, a primary controller of inflammation, thereby triggering the immune system to rev up the condition. There is no single agreed-upon mechanism that's causing the issues, Beretta says. An individual may have multiple factors going on in their body, and not everyone will have the same underlying mechanism causing their symptoms, which increases the complexity of both research and treatment. One factor that seems to matter, vaccination status. Several studies show that vaccination can decrease the risk of developing long COVID, Patel says. Vaccination rates tend to increase with age, with people 75 and older being the most well vaccinated, hence the most well protected from long COVID, Patel theorizes. That may explain why long COVID most commonly affects people ages 35 to 64. The risk seems to drop for those 65 plus, according to the CDC data. Going on a little further with this article, and then we'll continue more next time. From long COVID diagnosis to treatment, no single test can determine whether a person has long COVID. Doctors typically diagnose long COVID by reviewing the patient's health history and current symptoms and trying to rule out other causes. A positive COVID test is not required, as someone could have been infected without knowing it, then experience strange symptoms later, Patel says. Though there are many ongoing clinical trials on long COVID, there is no umbrella treatment. Primary care physicians address what they can, and then they call in specialists, such as a cardiologist to handle arrhythmia or a therapist to treat anxiety, for more targeted care. There are long COVID centers around the country where teams of professionals work to help patients through their unique symptoms. Because of the effects of COVID are so wide throughout the body and mind, there will not be a single treatment for all long COVID issues, Beretta says. This is going to be treated by many different types of providers and specialists, and it will be treated often symptom by symptom. Long COVID is recognized as a disability under the Americans with Disability Act if it substantially limits one or more major life activities. About 200 symptoms fall under that umbrella, Patel says. Here are some of the conditions we're learning can linger months and in some cases years beyond an acute COVID infection. If these or other health changes seem familiar, consult your primary care physician. So I'm just going to read you the headings, and then next time we'll start with the nitty-gritty under those headings. We have extreme fatigue, shortness of breath, cognitive changes, depression and anxiety, sleep disturbances, digestive upset, new or worsened allergies, pain, and fast-moving research means new hope. Now moving on to another article from AARP, The Bulletin, under Fraud Watch, Clean Energy Scams Surge. From green and clean to solar to renewable energy scams are bilking consumers out of thousands of dollars. Here's how to spot and sidestep them. This is by Sari Harar. Carlos Weilman wasn't fully interested in solar panels for her new Caney, Texas home. But when a solar energy salesman stopped by in May 2022, promising no more electric bills and a $30,000 tax rebate, she signed a form on his iPad that she thought was just paperwork. Now, I have an $89,000 loan. 50 panels on my roof and my porch leaks, says the 75-year-old retired bar and restaurant owner. Weilman says she never applied for the loan, never received a tax incentive because she doesn't pay income tax, and her solar panels may work a little, but my electric bills are higher for some reason. She's not alone. Fueled by a drop in solar panel costs, an urge to fight climate change, the availability of real but sometimes confusing government incentives, and a desire to save on rising energy costs, solar panel scams are hitting consumers across the United States. I think it's a perfect storm, says Minnesota Assistant Attorney General Noah Llewellyn. There are a lot of startup companies, and some make promises that never come true. The sales pitch often starts with a solar salesperson knocking on the front door, calling on the phone, or connecting via social media. Solar has so much potential for good. It's a real shame a handful of bad actors are giving it a black eye, says Philadelphia area consumer protective lawyer Andrew Miltz. People think they're doing something good for the environment and it should eliminate their electric bill, but that's not always the case. Authorities are taking steps to protect consumers. Attorneys general in at least 15 states have investigated or filed suits against solar installers and lenders. In May, the Nevada State Contractors Board started a solar investigations unit. But the scams continue. Older adults may be especially vulnerable because many are home during the day and may be more likely to open the door to solar salespeople or answer phone calls. Criminals use the lure of clean, green, renewable energy to steal consumers' money in other ways, too. Scammers exploit the green halo around renewable energy to pull victims in, says Robert Meschio, Director of Investor Education Outreach at the not-for-profit Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, FINRA. Scammers take advantage of people's inclination to do good, he says. In a 2023 Stanford University survey of 993 investors, 76% of people ages 58 and older said they were concerned about the environment, and about 30% were willing to lose a little money to help clean it up. But investors have lost millions in recent years to fake green energy companies such as a California Ponzi scheme, claiming it was converting cow manure into methane gas for generating electricity. Don't rely on marketing hype, Machio says. Do your homework before investing. Start investigating whether a green energy investment is a scam or an opportunity by checking whether the seller is a licensed broker on FINRA's broker check. A broker check dot FINRA, F-I-N-R-A dot org. Skip schemes that sound too good to be true and walk away from unsolicited investment offers, whether directed to you through mail, social media, chat rooms, text message, or phone call, he says. Some clean energy come-ons are a ruse to get your personal identifying information. In June, Huntsville Utilities in Alabama warned residents about callers posing as utility representatives offering cheap solar panels, then gathering personal financial data and home ownership information. Utility company workers will never reach out to you asking for your Social Security number, credit card number, or bank account information. But imposters will. Utility companies and police departments across the U.S. warn consumers. Clean energy scammers often employ similar tactics, experts say. They include a special deal if you act right now. If you feel pressured to act immediately on a solar or other renewable energy deal, just say no, advises Melanie McGovern, spokesperson for the Better Business Bureau. High pressure is where people could end up losing money, she says. If you're interested in solar panels, take time to research costs and benefits on your own by getting bids from several contractors in your area. Check first that installers are licensed, certified, and/or registered with organizations such as the North American Board of Certified Energy Practitioners. Look for complaints and problems by visiting the Better Business Bureau National Business Directory at bbb.org/search. Your state's Department of Energy or Consumer Protection Bureau may have a list of qualified solar installers or information to let you know whether a contractor is registered and/or licensed. To learn about state solar licensing requirements for contractors, check the Interstate Renewable Energy Council's national database at irecusa.org/solar-licensing-database. Promising free solar panels, big tax credits, and no more electric bills. The federal government does not have any programs that install solar panels on the homes of Americans for free, according to the U.S. Department of Energy. To learn more about whether the federal solar investment tax credit and state subsidies for solar installations would benefit you, go to the DOE's Solar Energy Technologies Office at energy.gov/EERE/solar-solar-energy-technologies-office. The Internal Revenue Service has a fact sheet about residential clean energy on its website. You can also ask your utility company about how solar panels will affect your electric bill. Close to signing a contract? Have an attorney review it first. And also, undisclosed fees tacked onto solar loans and getting signatures under false pretenses are other issues you should look for. Well, folks, we have reached the end of our time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.